This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, I'm going to announce my candidacy for public office here with this promise. Why do we go to other planets? Why do we go to space? Why do we orbit when we can't even drive from here to Europe? We can't even drive from here to China. I don't know. I'm a big idea kind of guy, but I think before we go to space, we should be able to circumvent the world, our own planet, with a vehicle. All right. 9:10 now. Cynthia Lee Sheng joins us, president of Jefferson Parish. Good morning, Cynthia Lee Sheng. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Would you care to be my Department of Transportation secretary to put that in effect?
I love travel, and I don't like getting in the air so much, so I'm all for it.
You could build the infrastructure along the way, the gas stations, et cetera. Imagine a Buc-ee's in the middle of the Pacific between here and Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
That's right.
Who's crazy now? Me? Let's talk about how you doing, all right?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
How was the parade yesterday?
It was good. Oh, the weather was great. It was the 43rd Irish-Italian parade. That kind of closes our parade season, but everybody had a great time and big crowds, and, you know, it was really fun out there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk about water bills. What's going on with water bills?
So I think you're having me on this segment because we've been discussing this at the past couple council meetings. And look, this is a time of the year where this kind of discussion comes up, because if people in Jefferson Parish certainly can see it on their bill. In January of 2022, we started increasing the water. I keep saying water bill, but we're trying to get people used to saying a utility bill.
I said it. It's my fault.
We have. Yeah. No, I do it, too. I mean, I fall into that as well. Our infrastructure is old in Jefferson Parish, and so I really asked the council back in 2021 to increase the rates so we could deliver a modern water and sewer system to our residents. It's going to take us 20 years. I'll be long out of office when we finish this, but we need to. The pipes were starting to break, and, you know, the infrastructure was getting old, and you don't want to fall behind on that because it affects all things in the parish. And so we didn't want to do such a big jump all at once, so we started doing a yearly increase. People see it starts in January of every year. We go up probably about $3 a month in water, another maybe $4 a month in sewer. And then every year we do the same increase. So we're gathering steam and getting a lot of resources to do these big, big, big projects. But of course, every time of this year, people see their bill go up. And in addition to,
this year because it goes up every year at this time? Is that what I'm hearing?
It goes up in January, and like from January. And remember, we only bill in Jefferson Parish every 2 months.
Right. But let me take it.
It takes somebody to actually physically go to your house and read the meter.
Let me take a timeout here for people that don't understand. To avoid being where Orleans Parish is, you're planning ahead. You said 20 years, you'd be close to 50 by then.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then No, but you're planning ahead so that the money is being accrued now so the repairs can take place so you don't wind up with everything broken at the same time, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. No, it is. It's that things were starting to break. People accused me of making it happen, but when I was really pushing for this and trying to get our council to vote positively, which thank goodness they did, we had a water line break, a sewer line break right in front of the East Bank Regional Library. You all covered it. It was a huge, huge fountain of sewer coming up. And that example, and I'll always say it, you know, if we would have fixed it before it broke, we would have only paid, I think it was $200,000. We paid nine times the amount to fix it on an emergency basis, plus it closed the roads, plus it got into businesses. It was a disaster, right? So this stuff was going to start happening all over the parish because we're just that old. Our infrastructure is that old. So I said this needs to be done. Both systems were losing money by the time I got to be parish president, and when we did it. And so now, but of course, you know, our citizens feel the pain every, you know, and realize that their water bill, the utility bill goes up every January. And we've been, since then, we kind of, the complaints increase around this time of the year through March because this is when these bills go out, when the increase goes up every year. And of course, we run a utility billing system with about 960,000 bills a year that we put out. And there's about a 1.5% complaint rate anyway that we have to handle. And so this is the discussion that we're having on the council side about these bills. And people are concerned about the water meters. And everybody, I mean, myself, you know, you want to make sure your meter works. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, they're old meters. So if anything, the citizen gets the benefit of sort of a slower meter, but we're installing the new AMI. I think New Orleans is doing it as well, the automated advanced metering infrastructure. They're called AMI, which is the modern water meter that you can see on your phone. You have an app on your phone. It's very accurate, wireless communication. And we're installing those now. We've started in Grand Isle and Lafitte, and we'll move up to Upper Jefferson. We'll get about 4,000 a month done. So people will start seeing those happening, and it'll take us probably 3 or 4 years to finish that work across. We have 160,000 accounts in Jefferson Parish. So hope is on the way, although that people might not like it when they get the new meter. It might be, you know, go up again because it's a very accurate read. But those are the discussions that we've been having at the council offices.
Well, it could go down. It could go down. You never know,
right? It could go down.
Yeah, probably
yeah.
not. But it
and
could.
I think people... People don't realize. So first of all, and I don't know how other parishes do this, but we still call it a water bill. I fall into the same trap, but it really has sewer, garbage, mosquito, a safe water fee from the state, Lafreniere Park or Park Day for me, wherever you, depending on where you live. And look, Tommy, it's a very deceptive, and people still think of it as a water. I swear I do it myself. Mm-hmm. But I looked at my $108 bill one month. I got a $108 bill.
2 months, though, right?
2 months, yeah. 2 months. Okay, I get a $108 bill, and I bring that water component down to a monthly basis. It's $12.62. So that's how deceptive it is. But you think water, the bill used to say water. Mm-hmm. I sit down, pay my monthly bills. I think of it as a monthly bill because it's in my routine as a monthly bill. But when you really do the math on it, we still, even with the increases, have very, very cheap water rates. Now, if you have a leak, like a toilet leak mm-hmm. or something like that, your bill is going to go up exponentially. A leaky faucet will use up 20 gallons of water a day. Before I go out of town, I go around my whole house and make sure none of my toilets are on. You know, sometimes the handle gets broken and they start running. That will really increase your bill. And that's where a lot of the complaints come from.
You're the parish president of Jefferson Parish. Is your testimony, Miss Lee Sheng, that you go around...
I don't want to hear it.
To every toilet in your house and make sure that the valve is off before you leave the door of the house?
No. I don't turn the valve off. No.
Okay. What
do you
do?
I just make sure the toilet's silent. That's
okay.
All
right.
It's not running.
All right. Continue, please. You're under oath. Continue.
So, look, that's what it is. So people can control their water usage, obviously. So this is something that they can control. And then when we see we have really high bills, if we see that there is a problem, we already do this. We go put a door hanger on your door, you know, if your bill is like, you know, like double the use that you would, and we put a door hanger on your door, we take a picture of your meter, and we notify you, you know, check your house, you may have a leak. We're noticing very high water usage. Mm-hmm. So, again, these are the conversations we're having about how to deal with the complaints of the people that still have the old meters.
Well,
but look, we're bringing...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if you have a tankless water heater, save yourself a trip because you have no idea how long you're staying in that shower. I know because I have one.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. But
you do too.
Mine, you use up more water to get it hot, right? You're kind of, for mine,
right.
it takes a while,
and then you stay in there a long time because you don't run out of hot water.
Yes.
So go ahead, finish.
Right.
Tell me about bills and if somebody thinks they have the bill is too high. Because the good thing about the smart meters is that they'll be able to monitor this with an app, and they'll be able to see daily what they use, right?
You can see daily. You can pay bills. You can notice a spike very quickly. You know, you don't have to wait for your bill to come in the next weeks to see it high. You're catching it quickly. But we've tried to get we still have a phone-based system. We've tried to do a lot of things over the past years. We've hired more call takers. We've changed those positions, changed the hours, made it more appealing for people to get those jobs. Move to MoneyGram and CheckFree for people to pay their bills. Change the messaging tree. We're still looking at that. We did a callback feature. So we're doing whatever we can to get that complaint line down. And look, during COVID, it was an hour wait. It's terrible. It was an hour wait. We've got it down to maybe between 1 and 15 minutes, depending on the time of day and depending on, what the week looks like. And we're still working on that. We're still going to hire up. I've told them to hire even more people and really put those call takers on the line. So I think if we can get that call time down, the council offices won't get as many complaints. And we'll really solve the problem right where it is. The resources we have, we want to keep it on trying to manage the complaints that we get. And so that's a lot of the discussions. But look, I say all this, and we're going through the pains of having to pay it, but we're bringing you a new water lab over by Jefferson Highway, a completely new state-of-the-art water lab. The intake at the river is all new. We're going to have a new water plant there. Again, the meters in every household, pipe replacement throughout the parish. You can see our water towers. We have 11 water towers. We're revamping all of those. So really, really water projects and sewer projects through for the next 20 years, this is what this is buying us. So it's difficult, but it's an investment in ourselves. It's an investment in our community. It keeps your property values high. It's good for business. And that's why I was such a big advocate for doing it, even though who wants to be a politician and raise everybody's rates? But
right.
This is very, very important to the
parish.
You
tampered with the Jefferson Parish Recreation Department, too, so there's no help.
I did.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
900,000 bills a year, a complaint rate of 1.5%, which goes to show you the squeaky wheel gets a grease. So really, 1.5% is not bad for 900,000. Scott Walker, who I know from when he was 7 years old, having worked with his dad, I know his mom, at-large council member running for parish president in 2027, talking about taking a picture of every meter. I don't know what that would help. Would it help anything?
Well, I think what we're just, you know, what we've said is, look, the resources we have, let's please put it on the 1.5% and let's make a difference there. If you touch every meter, you know, and the old meters when we're in the midst of replacing it, you know, we think, you know, there is a different way. So, I mean, you know, kudos to him for bringing up the conversation and let's talk about it. But no, that's, we would not want to be in that position to do that, to touch every meter. That would be very difficult for us. And we've talked to him about that.
But
and the conversations are still going on.
Is that about taking a picture or about reading the meter? Because the meter's red. It's just additionally taking a picture. I'm confused about that.
I think, you know, there was discussion. He wanted us to look at potentially taking a picture of every meter. And that to do that, to make sure look, we have a contract to do it, to make sure, you know, he was getting complaints
that
the meter's not being read.
I get you. Okay.
Not being read.
Right.
Or there's mud on it. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not saying there couldn't be an employee who's just, you know, dialing it in and not doing the work. Of course, we're all humans and that happens in anything. But we don't think that's going on a widespread basis. And so I think he was discussing that as a check to make sure. But if there's any problem with the water bill, we go out. We don't leave it to our contractor. Our water department goes out and takes a picture of the meter. So, you know, we adjust bills. If we think something's wrong, we quickly adjust it even before the complaint comes in. So, because we look at the 200% usage already. We look at those ourselves and see if there's something wrong on our end.
You've never dialed it in
your life. Discussions will still continue.
You've never dialed it in your life, have you? No, you haven't. I know you. You haven't. You've never done that. Some people
I
do,
like
but
the
not
operations.
You.
I like getting. Yeah. Well, thank you.
If anything, you're the lady that checks the toilets before you leave. Tell me you're dialing
I
it
do.
In. Come on.
My what suggestion else? To everyone: check your toilet before you go out of town.
What else
it
is
really
going?
Will.
Go ahead.
Really will bring up your bill.
Tell me about
so
what else
really
is going
busy.
On Jefferson Parish.
Had a great year. We had a bicentennial park to park where they ran from LaSalle to Lafreniere. We had the Senior Expo on Friday, and you mentioned the Irish-Italian Parade, so it was a busy, busy last week. And this week we have a J-Paws, our animal shelter, Pet Fest at Lafreniere Park on Sunday from 11 to 3. You can come out. You get free microchipping for your pet and pet adoptions and rabies vaccines, all that kind of stuff.
When is that?
They also have a
Saturday
career.
Or Sunday?
That's Sunday from 11 to 3.
Good weather should be
clear. And then Friday, for anybody looking for a job, we have a career expo at the Delgado River City campus on Friday from 10 to 2. So it's busy. We're still celebrating our bicentennial year all year this year. So lots of fun things.
How's the project on lighting the UEP Long Bridge coming?
I'm not sure. we've discussed that since you brought
that's
that up.
That's your legacy.
You've got that discussion
all
going
right, that's
on.
Your
very
legacy.
Expensive. I do know that.
I know that,
very
but you'll put the numbers together. Get Newell to help you. Get Newell to help you rattle some chains, put some money together, and then we'll have the UAP Long lit up, and that'll be your legacy. Thank you. Anything else?
It would be beautiful.
It would be
beautiful.
Anything else?
Yes. No, that's it.
Pleasure talking to you as always, Cynthia Lee Sheng, Jefferson Parish President. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Isaac Toops, chef at Toops Meadery, about the great crawfish debate. Does seasoning go in the boil or on the crawfish? 504-260-1870. We'll also talk about some of the stuff he does helping feed families in need and how this great debate got started. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 9:32, it would appear as though we're fixing to get our rain on the South Shore and the West Bank because they got a lot of gray clouds hovering over the area, so be aware of that. The good news is it should move pretty quickly, and we should be through with it by noon, they're saying, maybe 1 o'clock, and hopefully no heavy rain that causes any kind of street flooding or anything like that. North Shore already got their turn. We're getting ready to talk to Isaac Toops, who is a chef at Toops Meadery and also does a lot of good work in the community. How you doing, Isaac?
Doing great this morning. How are you, man?
I'm all right, sir. Let's talk about this great crawfish controversy before we get to the good work that you guys do. What's going on with this?
Just a good, friendly argument. I love poking people online. Everybody tends to have a good time. There always people get a little upset about different ways to cook things, different ways to cook gumbo, different ways to cook fried chicken, and, of course, different ways to cook crawfish. I grew up using the Lafayette method, and, of course, I'm always going to prefer that method. There's nothing wrong with the New Orleans method. I just love getting people excited and fired up about the different methods to make. It's all in good fun, but, growing up, the Lafayette method is the ice chest method. I was talking to Donald Link about this in detail. And we prefer that method where after you cook the crawfish, you cook them very briefly in water. And then you dump them in the ice chest and you layer seasoning and then lemon juice and vinegar over them. And you shake those and you let them steam for 20 minutes. And the crawfish come out cooked perfectly every time and seasoned just great. Whereas the New Orleans method, you leave them in the water after they're cooked. And you let them soak. And sometimes people let them soak for hours. And I think they come out a little overcooked. That being said, I eat New Orleans style crawfish all the time. And I love them both ways. But when I cook them at the house, it's got to be that Cajun Lafayette method.
See, I wanted to ask you about that because my kid lives in North Louisiana in Ruston and doesn't like the way they cook them because I think it's the method that you're talking about. I've lived here all my life. I had no idea that boiling them like we do is just a New Orleans thing. In Lafayette, I started to say Lafayette, but I said like you did, Lafayette, they boil them in just salt water or seasoned water and then do the ice chest thing? Take me through that, Scott.
Yeah, so when you're boiling crawfish in the water, they're not picking up any seasoning. Nothing's penetrating them.
Just parboiling. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, so no, I still season the water, but I don't only season the water for the vegetables. Mm-hmm. So your corn, your potatoes, and everything, your artichokes, your mushrooms, so they're going to pick up that flavor in the water, just like you would salt your water for blanching your green beans in your fine dining restaurant. So when you're blanching in your water, they're not picking up any seasoning whatsoever, the crawfish that they are. So when I season the water, I do that. Again, I just do it for the vegetables. Mm-hmm. But when they go in the ice chest, they start to cool down. So anything you have in the ice chest, being that good seasoning, the lemon juice and the vinegar, they're going to start to suck it up due to thermodynamics. So when you're cooking things, you heat them up, they expand. But when they start to cool down, they start to shrink. And they will absorb any liquid and any seasoning they have that are surrounding them, hence that method.
Osmosis almost, right? For you. Osmosis, I think, is what it is or not?
Osmosis? Sure. Let's
go with that.
The end of my scientific career right there.
Probably not, but but I understand what you're saying about the heat going to the cold attracting the heat, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I had no idea. Is that the way they do it around Louisiana, Isaac?
That's the way they do it around Louisiana.
Let me correct it. Are there more than one way to do it? Wait, let me. My head's going messy
here. I'm going to tell you, my father taught me that method years ago, and even he's changed his method. And I don't know a Cajun, and I don't know a New Orleanian that boils crawfish the same exact way. So Everybody's going to have slightly different techniques, slightly different ingredients, slightly different cooking times. And you know what? They're all good.
Somebody said it's messy to do it your way, but eating crawfish is messy. I don't know when I've ever had crawfish where it wasn't running down my arms.
Yeah. Anytime you're eating crawfish, I always tell people, like, wear a shirt you don't like. When's the last time you ate crawfish that wasn't messy? Yeah, good point.
So other than those two types, and somebody else wanted to know about the Lafayette method getting all over your fingers, does it make it too spicy or not?
No, not at all. I mean, that's all dependent on how much seasoning you put on, how much heat you want to put in there. That's completely dependent.
And what are you putting on it, Isaac? Are you putting the traditional crawfish boil stuff, liquid, or the shake of powder stuff, or what?
I use no liquid boil. I don't believe in the liquid boil. I don't like the way it tastes.
Okay.
I make my own with equal parts lemon, lime, and white wine vinegar. Okay. Just something a little dorky I do. Also, I tend to make my own spice blend. However, I've been known to be lazy and buy it. I like Zatarain's Pro Boil. That's not an endorsement. I don't get paid to say that.
No, I understand.
I just love Zatarain's Pro Boil. I'll go on the record with that.
So, let me ask you one more time about the different ways in Louisiana. Are there two ways to cook it, or are there more than two ways to cook crawfish?
Oh, there are more than two ways. I even read in Denmark, they boil them and they soak them in lemon juice and dill, kind of cocktail shrimp crawfish.
Hmm.
And I've always wanted to try that method. So for every Cajun man and for every New Orleans man and woman, there's going to be slightly different ways. And a lot of people do them a little bit of a combination. I've seen every which way to cook crawfish, and they're almost all good. So the moral of the story is, cook them how you like them. Just eat them.
There you go. I love your story. Everybody's got a story, Isaac. And I want to hear a little bit about yours. You've been named a James Beard Best Chef of the South semifinalist and finalist, and earned some other pretty notable accolades. Tell me how you got into cooking, and where were you born and raised? How did you know you wanted to be a chef, et cetera?
Well, born and raised in Rain, Louisiana, you know.
Fraud capital of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, fraud capital of the world. You got it. And, you know, I've been cooking since I could see a skillet, literally. You know, my mother and father, brothers and sisters, aunt and uncles, grandparents, everybody cooks. And it's just the way of the tube's life. We talk about dinner at lunch, and we talk about what we're going to eat on the weekend on Monday. And I caught the bug early. But I never really put the two and two together to do it professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I've been cooking my whole life, cooking professionally wasn't really something I thought of. So after job hopping around by college try, I worked at a printing press. I worked at a TV station. And I said one day, like, hey, let me go try cooking. I mean, just off the cuff, let me go try cooking. And within a week of cooking at a little local spot, I fell in love with it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to become a chef. I want to get a cookbook. I want to have a restaurant and all this. And this is 1 week into cooking at a restaurant in Lafayette. Then I got the bug, so I moved to New Orleans to kind of pursue my culinary career and worked for Emeril Lagasse for 10 years. And really just kind of, I put my head down and I cooked and I paid attention and I didn't do too much partying. I did a little partying,
mm-hmm.
but I really just kind of really honed the craft and really kind of dial it in. And it's just a love of the art, love of the game. And I love to cook. I love to eat. And I love being a dork about it. And I love finding different things to cook and different ways to cook. So really just kind of a passion project, guys. And, you know, opened up a restaurant 13 years ago, and I said, "Waha! Now I'm the chef, and now I'm the owner. I can do whatever I want."
Well, you're doing very well.
Oh my God, I can do whatever I want. That's scary, you know?
No, but it's good. You're doing a lot of good for the community, too. We'll talk about that when we get back. We're talking to Isaac Toops, chef at Toops Meadery, owner of Toops Meadery. They got the Toops Family Foundation. They do a lot of good with that. But somebody texted in. You can answer this when we come back. Should crawfish be purged before boiling? I'd like to know when we return. We're talking to Chef Isaac Toops over at Toops Meadery, 941, 19 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 947, 13 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Isaac Toops. Isaac Toops, chef over at Toops Meadery on Carrollton Avenue. And you can just Google Toops Meadery, find out all about them. We're going to talk about the Toops family and mission and what they do, Toops family meal. What's your favorite thing on the menu, Isaac? I'm just curious.
Oh, right now, I really like the venison. The venison setup, I brought that back from Top Chef.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a caramelized onion barley. It's got a raspberry mustard on it and a really good roasted garlic puree. It's probably one of my favorite things on the menu right now. But the cracklings and the boudin can't be beat either.
Let's talk about the purge question. You purge crawfish or not?
Of course, but that's a two-tiered answer. And I'll start with the most basic one. If you ever get a sack of crawfish and you just throw them in the water, that's a lot of mud
Oh, yeah.
Just on the outside of the crawfish. So you got to at least dunk them in several changes of water. I hose them down with the hose. I really get agitated with a stick or with the hands just to stir them up. And I change that water out until the water's clear. And that's just getting the mud off the outside of the crawfish.
Right there with you, Chef. That's what I do. I don't purge them with salt or anything like that. All I do is wash them off a couple of times, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, and then they're ready to go.
And that's really all I do either. LSU came out with a study that said adding salt water doesn't really do a whole lot of things. I will say that Hawk's Crawfish over there in Rain, Louisiana, they purge their crawfish for a couple of days in these giant aquifer tanks. Mm-hmm. And I will say that they put out some of the best crawfish in all of the land. So there might be something to it, but I don't have the time or the presence and the place to purge my crawfish for 3 days.
Do you eat the black thing, Chef?
No, unless the crawfish are really small.
Yeah.
If they're really small, I'll throw them back. But if they're anything, if they're worth picking out, I will pick the black thing out.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I had biology in high school. Tell me about Toop's family meal, will you, please? Because I admire you. First of all, I'm just a fan of yours. I admire a guy that follows his passion, puts his money where his passion is, and that's what you dig. Because it takes some, you know what, to start your own restaurant and follow your passion, which you did, and now you're giving back to the community. Tell me about Toop's family meal, please.
The Toop's family meal, you know, started really just kind of a knee-jerk reaction during the pandemic. So all those years back when, during the gosh darn pandemic, you know, we had to lay a couple employees off because the restaurant shut down completely. But we kept our managers, and we said, look, we're going to keep the managers. And the few hourly employees, we said, hey, look, come back every day during our family meal, which is just our word for staff meal. We have a staff meal for the lunch service. We have a staff meal for the dinner service. We cook around 8 to 10 employees every day. It's just kind of our normal thing. You get a meal at the restaurant. And I said, hey, look, I'll make a little bit extra. So you come in every day. We'll check in on you. And you can have a meal twice a day. So at least you're eating. Well, they called me up and said, Chef, thank you for the meal. But my roommate, he got fired and we don't have any food. Well, I said, well, we'll bring him over. And instead of 10 family meals, I'll cook 15. No big deal. Well, the next day it was 20. The day after that it was 40, and that snowballed into feeding 300 people every day. And that we got word of mouth out and social media out. I just heard people were hungry, and I said, "To heck with that! No, absolutely not. We're going to feed the people." So I just started cooking, and luckily my beautiful wife, who's way a lot more intelligent than I am, said, "Well, we got to get this crowdfunded." And I went, oh, yeah, that's probably a good idea because we'd have run out of food pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But we had the support of all of our restaurateur friends who were emptying their walk-ins, emptying their freezers. And it was like an episode of Top Chef. Like, I've got beef shanks and lentils and collard greens, and I got 4 hours to feed 300 people. Go. And we make these wacky meals, but these wacky meals would be delicious and hearty, and they would feed you heavily. And, you know, then the COVID lifted up. And then, okay, well, we shelved family meal. And then, you know, last year the funding fell through for some children for their school meals. And said, we said, to heck with that, too. So we started feeding the children during last summer. And, you know, come to find out, 1 in 3 children in the great city of Louisiana, great city of New Orleans, Louisiana, are food insecure. Can you imagine that? Mm. The greatest food city in all of the land, maybe the world, and our children go to bed hungry. That's unacceptable. And so we're doing our part over here with Toop's Family Meal, crowdsourcing, and now we're an honest 501(c). Before, we were just being scrappy and, you know, and we were a pirate ship and shooting down the hunger, but now we've gone semi-professional, and we're taking it as it comes, and we're going to feed all the children that we possibly can.
How do people get involved, Chef, if they want to donate or help out?
Well, real easy, toopsfamilymeal.com. We're also all over all the social medias, Facebook and Instagram. Real easy to reach out. If you want to donate, you can PayPal or Venmo. If you want to donate your time, every time we have a food drive, we're always looking for drivers. We're looking for people who help package the meals. So anything you can do we can help. You can help feed the children. Anything you can, anything will. We don't tell people no, and we take all the help we can get.
Everybody's got a story. Thank you for telling us yours. And I got to ask real quick, not to get, you know, sentimental here or anything, but do you think that there has been something that just led to a convergence of where you are now?
Something guiding you,
like you said. What made me think of that is when you said Top Chef with throwing ingredients together and preparing a meal with what you had. One thing led to this, led to that, led to the other thing.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a complicated guy.
Yeah,
I like food, and I like hanging out with the community, and I like having people over for crawfish bowls, and I just can't stand the thought of people going hungry in my house, in my city, in my restaurant. It's not going to happen. I won't sleep until it's done.
Thank you, Chef. Appreciate it. And go to Toop's Family Meal, and I'll give you more about that when we come back. 9:54, back in a flash, WWL.